Genesis chapter number 1, and we'll look down in verse number 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you please, dear God, give us grace as we open the Scriptures and look and see what we need from it and need to glean from it today. I pray, dear God, that you please will work in my heart and help me to say that which be pleasing to you. Without your touch, we are nothing. And so, Lord, we desire for your filling and your help, and for all that you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been looking at the days of creation, and we looked at day number one, at how that God made light. And the day number one of God's creation, God gave us the understanding of righteousness for us to be able to see what was right and for us to see what was wrong. Amen. And for there was to be light to be seen. And then there was also day number two of the day of retribution. When we say it was a day of retribution, God went and created the waters that were below and put waters above. And there was a firmament in between. And that water was there for protection, for provision. But there would come a day because of man's sin that what was intended to be protection and provision would produce the judgment of God. As the flood would come and destroy the world. And can I say even today that God gives light, God gives direction, and you can take the Word of God and live in it and abide in it and it find your sustenance and find your strength, or you can reject it and go your own way and find yourself under the judgment of God as the very thing that could have been your help becomes your destruction. We looked at the resource on day number three, how that God made the dry land appear, and he caused there to be substance, to be seed and fruitfulness, and the trees and the grass, and all those things came on day number three. And before man ever came here upon this earth, that he had provided the resource that man would be able to eat and find nourishment and find help. And so we found the resource on day number three. On day number four, we find that of rulership. Light was created on day number one. But on day number four, God caused the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by the night. And he created the stars also. We realize that if anybody has any help in their life in any direction, it is because they recognize authority that God has placed there. The sun and the moon was not the origination of light. Light originated with God, but God put light in the control of by the sun and the moon, and that is how the day and the night is ruled. Even so, God puts authorities in our life that did not establish the truth, but implement the truth in our life, and how important it is for that authority and that rulership to be there. And then we looked on day number five of the reliability, and we talked about the reliability. God created the fish and the birds of the air and things that man has a hard time understanding, how a fish can live in the water and how the birds can fly in the air above, something that is above our ability. We looked at that of faith and how that we can trust God. And as we trust God, as the sparrows and the fishes of the sea trust the Lord, and you see that throughout Scripture, even so our faith can take us to new heights and to new depths in the Lord as we we follow the faith that is in Christ Jesus. But then we come to day number six, and this is the day of responsibility. With it being Father's Day, I'd consider changing our course. But the truth is today we look at when God created man, the first father that was ever created. And so it may be a little bit different today in regard to a typical Father's Day message, but can I say fathers that are here today can receive the responsibility that has been given to them as men. Amen. And I do remind you that the part of the reason why fathers are failing today is because they are failing to be men. Amen. You're going to, hey, young men, before you ever can be a good father, you're going to have to learn to be a good man. Amen. If you're a wicked man, you'll make a wicked father. If you're a poor man, you'll make a poor father. Amen. And may God help us in these areas. So we're going to jump into this day. Now, before we get to that man, we realize that God also on this day made the living creatures that inhabited the land. The Bible tells us in verse 24 in regard to these land animals, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now on this day, we find that God starts with the animals, and he creates them that are around. But understand that these are the animals that are outside of the fish of the sea. These are the animals that are outside of the birds of the air. But these are specifically the animals that have to breathe as we do and are under a lot of the same laws of nature as we as human beings are. The first one that we look at, he talked about the beast. And when he talks about the beast, you will find later on after the fall of man and as time progresses that the beast would be the carnivorous animal. It would be the one that would eat the wild meat, and it was more of a wild animal. And that's what the beast was going to be. And then also you have that of the cattle. And the cattle was more of what we understand today as that which is more domesticated. It was the animals that would be plant eaters. And then there was also the creeping things, and that was all the other animals, the small animals that were not included in the idea of being a beast or that of the cattle. So you have three categories that God gave us, from the beast to the cattle to the creeping thing. Can I say, but God's crowning work was not going to be found in the animals. Amen. I remind you today that the reason why there are so many people that have a hard time living the way they should is because of what they've been taught. Amen. You know the reason why men and dads live like animals? Because they've been taught they came from them. Amen. But God's crowning achievement and God's crowning work was not with the animals. It was what he was about to do in the next few verses. And we see the responsibility that was not given to the animals, but the responsibility that was given to mankind. Can I tell you something today? As man is being created, he is of supreme creatures of all things that God has created here upon this earth. And we'll see that in the scriptures just ahead. The Bible says in verse number 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. God said, all these other creatures I've created, and what was in God's mind when he created them after the fashion he created them, I do not know. But when he came to man, he said, I want a man that is in a creation that is in my image. He says, after our likeness. And he says, and this to this man, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. what did God do with this man? He goes and he gives him an ability that is beyond all the other abilities. We say when you consider man, man has the ability to comprehend. And he has the ability to study. Amen. He has the ability to communicate one with another and to share what he's been given unto him. He has the ability to control. And because he has the ability to control, he has the ability, and not only do I say ability, but the responsibility to structure. Listen to me, men folk, dads that are here today. God's intention for man was for him to have fellowship with God. And as he was to have fellowship with God, God put in us something that we were able to comprehend the things of God, to study the things of God, to communicate about the things of God, to share the things of God, to control the things that God has given unto us, and to structure our lives of what God intended them to be. Well, when you consider that, man's made a big mess of it, hasn't he? And even when you look at this and consider what in the creation, understand that God had an intention of what he desired this world to be for man. And God put it in men's hands. God put it in man's hand to make sure that it was what it should be. And boy, it's a far cry from what it is. When we consider this man, we see his appearance was like unto the Lord. I do believe that when I get to heaven, that my God will be in the appearance of a man. Not because God was made like unto man, but man was made like unto God. And when I see, there'll be no confusion of whether it's an angelic being or the God of heaven. For truly, the God of heaven is what man was created in his image. Boy, that's something special. That is something amazing that God created man in his image, in his appearance. He gives man authority over the creation, something that man did not create of himself, did not do anything of himself. God gives him that authority. And then we saw in the last verse, verse number 28, gives him the ability to reproduce. In verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so we see that God gives them this ability. Now, we also see that what God does, just if you're in any doubt, God also gives them the nutrition that was needed for them. In verse number 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know, I'm telling you what, if we'd study God's word a little bit more, we'd find the very good things that God has for us. If we do things God's way a little bit more than what we do, we would find the very good things that life has for us. Now, when we come to this, we realize that God provided for man to eat of the trees and of the herbs that would grow from the ground. And when you consider that, in the very beginning, there was no meat eating. There was no eating of the animals, and the animals, even all of them, ate of the plants of the ground. You say, preacher, are you advocating that of being a vegetarian? I am not at all. And the reason why is because that changed because of the curse of sin. Because of the curse of sin, God went and gave man to eat of the other things, of meat and of those things, and then also even the creatures of the earth also begin to consume. And can I say this idea of a food chain was indeed because of the fall of man. But let's jump into this thing, and I want to jump in and get this thought upon your mind, and that is man having a responsibility before God. God made us in his image, and as God made us in his image, he also gave us a portion of his dominion and said, listen, I've created this, and now I'm putting it in your hands to do what is right with it. In Psalms 100 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Do you believe that God made you? If you believe God made you, you have the responsibility to understand that God's authority is still over you. Man is in trouble today. The nations of this earth is in trouble today. Families are in trouble today because man has failed to recognize that he has an authority over him, and it is the God of heaven. Hey, listen, there's fathers and homes that are in disarray because daddy hasn't taken the responsibility and gotten before God and said, "I was made in the image of God, and I have a responsibility that's been given to me by Almighty God, and in the image of God, He has the authority in my life." The reason why men don't stand up for anything that they ought to stand up for is because they are submitting to other authorities instead of God's authority. The reason why that they're not conducting their homes in the direction that they ought to go is because they have not submitted to the authority of Almighty God. They think that they're their own person. They think they're going to go their own way. But my friend, my Bible says that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you are been bought with a price, and therefore you're supposed to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. And so we understand the authority that because of Him being the Creator, that He has an authority over us. And because I'm in the image of God, I understand that God has the authority in my life. He makes the rules. He says how things are going to be. Whether I like them, whether I understand them, it's His will. Now, not only do we see man's authority over him, but I see man's actual value. How much is a man's life really worth? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 9, they were coming off the ark after the great flood. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Once again, the same command after God had destroyed the world. "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Do you realize what God instituted? When they came after off the ark, the sin had gotten very bad. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the coming of the Lord is going to be as the days of Noah. And how bad it got then that God sent the great flood and destroyed the earth. When they're coming off the ark, God looks at man and He says, "Listen, I value life." He says, "Yes, I have given to you. You are able to now eat meat. And every animal that you take and you eat, you're not supposed to eat the blood thereof, but it was supposed to be thoroughly cooked and it was supposed to be used." But He said, when it comes to man, to man's life, He said that any man that would take another man's life, that that man's life was supposed to be taken. Can I say this? God instituted capital punishment, not by God, but by mankind themselves. We're supposed to institute capital punishment. This was before the Levitical law. This was before all the other laws. But capital punishment was supposed to be instituted right after the flood from that time forth. And that's what the command of God was at that time. Why? Because man was created in the image of God, and because man was created in the image of God, God says, I've got a premium value on a man's life. I've got a premium value on a man's life. Boy, that's a far cry. Hey, listen, we have a messed up system that we have today. You know the reason why? Because people can't accept the idea of capital punishment anymore. Amen. They can't accept doing things the way God says. Why? They have devalued man's life. Hey, listen, they will not kill a criminal, but they'll kill an innocent child. It doesn't make any sense. They will not go and destroy and go and bring judgment upon one that has gone and committed a trespass, and yet they will go and take one that has not yet committed a trespass. Why? Because they don't believe in the image of God created he man. The value, man's actual value, man's authority over him. But can I say, it even goes to man's appearance. Do you believe you were created in the image of God? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In verse number 1, the Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now you come to these verses, and I know there's a lot that we could dive into it, but he said this. He said man was created in the image of God. And because God, he was created in the image of God, that nature has taught him to make sure he has short hair. Man is supposed to look like a man, and woman is supposed to look like a woman. Why? Because God made the rules. Amen. He created them male and he created them female. That's not popular in our day. But listen, we're not here to be popular. We're here to make sure that we're on the right side, and that's God's side. Amen. And he said he created them this way. And he said, so men, you're supposed to have short hair. Women, you're supposed to have long hair. And do you realize that everything else goes from there? I didn't know if y'all know this, but God made men and women different. Praise God. Amen. He's blessed us in different ways physically. And can I say, adjustments ought to be made accordingly. Let's move on. Appearance. Man's affection. It's going to get hard. Somebody's going to have a hard Father's Day, and so we'll just try to be good. Colossians chapter number 3. It's still God's way, though. It's still God's way. Hey, listen, we've done listened to Hollywood and everybody else of how things ought to be, and you've listened to the news media so much. Can I tell you something? As when I look at the Word of God, the direction of the wicked is going straight to hell. But the people that live godly and do it God's way is where the preservation and the provision of God is to be found. No, it's not by works. It's by the grace of God. But the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly and godly in this present world. Amen. But then we go to man's affection. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now here's what we find. We know man as a fallen creature. We know man after sin. Can you imagine seeing Adam in that day when he was the perfect man, when he had never done anything wrong in what God had made in Adam? But all I know is men that are defiled and are wicked and are corrupt. But, and we'll get to it in just a moment, God sent his son to die for wicked men like me. Amen. And there was a day that I trusted Christ and he changed my life. When I trusted Christ and he changed who I was on the inside, he also told me to let my life change to the image of what God intended for me to be. Amen. And so what do we understand in these verses? That there's supposed to be a new man that is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What is my understanding? The image of who I am is supposed to imitate what God intended for me to be before the fall. Amen. And I thank God for that. Now, when we look at these verses in the context of Colossians 3, think about this in regard to us being the men and the Christians that we should be. If ye then be risen with Christ. You say, what does it mean to be risen with Christ? You've been saved. You've been given a new life. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says this, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Can I tell you, a man's problem is where he's setting his affection. Men love so many different things. But can I tell you, if you're going to be a real man, and if you're going to step up and be a man above the rest, you're going to be a man that learns to love God, to love the things of God, and love more than the things of this world. Hey, listen, the things of this world, they're going to keep you in debt. They're going to keep you discouraged. They're going to keep you down and out. You'll never be able to achieve all the things that this world will have to offer you. But my friend, I have something in the Bible, and we've studied this over and over again, is the reason why we believe the Bible is because the Bible is the only thing that has that which is eternal. Everything else about life is temporal. Everything else you set your affection on will pass away. But my friend, if a man puts his trust in the Word of God and sets his life in the Word of God, can I tell you, he has that which is eternal, because it is that which is from above. So he says, set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we believe that Jesus died for us. We believe we're saved. We believe that we're waiting on the return of Christ. Amen. Anybody here saved? Is there a man in here that knows Jesus as their Savior? Is there a dad in here that knows the Lord as your Savior? Amen. Thank God. You ought to rejoice today that you have a heavenly Father and you're no longer the child of the devil. He says then, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. I don't know if you know what that word mortify means. It means to kill it. He says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and then our text, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know why men are having these racial wars like they are? Because they don't understand Christ. If you understand Christ, it puts all of it into perspective. You know the reason why? Because in Christ, there is. What did he say? There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. I was reading an article this past week, and it said how that racism is our big sin of our country. Can I tell you, the real sin of our country is pride. It's white man's pride. It's black man's pride. It's every other nation's pride. And what happens is they've not humbled themselves under the God of heaven. Because you humble yourself in the God, under the God of heaven, you realize how small and insignificant we are. And then when you understand that all of us stand guilty sinners before God, and yet Christ came to die for the black man, for the white man, and for every man that's ever lived, boy, it puts it all in perspective. But it'll never be fixed until we have a nation that humbles themselves before God. They can fight and war amongst themselves, and they'll continue to keep on fighting and warring and won't get anywhere, because the truth is there's got to be humility. Amen. And that's the only people God will ever work in, is men that will humble themselves before God. Amen. Their biggest problem, man's problem is that of pride. In verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You say, preacher, this is getting boring to me. This is the man that God wants you to be. This is the image that you're supposed to display. This is the type of men that God says you can be. Yes, you may be a fallen man, but God has given us something in the Scripture and said, this is the image that I want you to be. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Boy, where's man's affection at? It's everywhere, isn't it? But I'm telling you, if you get it on the things above, you will be a different person. So we see man's affection. We see man's attitude. In James chapter 3 and verse number 9, he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, there's a lot of people that want to act like they are going to glorify God, and yet they want to turn around and curse their fellow man. And Jesus, and there in the book of James, James was looking at that church and those group of believers there in Jerusalem, and he told him, he said, listen, these things ought not to be. You can't turn around, and the context of James chapter 3 is what we say with our tongue. You know, men have a lot of times their tongue gets away from them. They'll say some abominable things. Can I say cursing ought not to be in a man of God's life? And when I say man of God, I'm not talking about a preacher. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be a man of God in the respect that you are a child of God and you live for the Lord. You ought not to let profanity come out of your mouth. Amen. You ought to be able to control it. Don't act like you're a Christian if you can't control your tongue. Amen. It got real quiet. Why? Because the truth is, if we were to be honest, there's all dotted around here. There's people that can't control what their mouth says, and they will curse other people. They'll curse. And do you realize the person that you're cursing, that they're in the image of God? He said they're in the similitude of God. You know, there's going to be a day that you're going to stand before God, and God says every idle word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to stand and give an account for it, and you're going to give an account for that man that you cursed. What's your attitude look like? Let me move on. We see man's authority under him. There is authority that God has given unto us as men. Can I say the greater authority we ought to be looking at is God being our authority. But when I see God as my authority, I realize that God's given those under my authority. He's given me children. He's given me a wife. He's given me these things and these things around me and the responsibility that I have day after day that, boy, this can be overwhelming. But God gave us the power to fulfill that. In Psalms 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Can we say amen? Because the problem is I read that the wrong way. There was an exclamation point. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Go read it. That's what the pronunciation is there. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him? That's humility, buddy. I got a great God. And boy, I sure am one small individual. For thou hast made him, being man, a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. God did it, and God gave it to you. Amen. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Can I tell you something? Somebody reads their Bible. I don't understand how you could ever get depressed. When the great God of heaven made a lowly man, and he turned around and gave him all things for him, and that man turned and he sinned against God, and yet he still redeemed him and still put all things in his hand. Boy, that amazes me. I have a God that loves me and bless the name of the Lord for it. Amen. That amazes me. And yet God gives you the ability to have authority. Hey, listen, I humbly stand before you today as a dad. I humbly stand before you today as a husband. You say, why? Because I didn't deserve any of it. What is man, Lord, that thou art mindful of him? That you would give me all that. That you would bless me and bless the works of my hands and bless the endeavors of my life and keep your hand on me. Lord, who am I that you would do that? Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. Boy, there's some men that ought to praise the Lord for all the goodness that he's given. You're nobody, and yet God still loved you. Amen. Let me move on quickly. We see that God gave man's authority under him, but then I see man's advocate, his atonement. In Hebrews chapter number 2, we see a repetition of these verses. In verse number 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So the Hebrew writer said, hey, look at all this promise that is given unto man. All things are under his feet. He has control of the world and the earth that is around him. And then he says this. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. What do we understand? There's a lot of things as men that are out of our control. When Adam was given the control and the dominion that he had perfect control. He called it every animal, whatever he wanted to name them. He had control of all these different things because God had given it unto him. But the effectiveness of his control was lost because of the fall of man. And we've seen time and time again, man let things get out of his control, to get out of his grasp and make a mess out of everything. Amen, men? They've done it over and over, whether they're collectively, individually, we make a mess of it as men. And he says, so how, the Hebrew writer says, how is this possible that this is what the Word of God says? Because we look around, and when we look around, we don't see all things put under him. Man's not in control. He's losing control. We're not getting a better earth. We're getting a worse earth. But the Hebrew writer says this. But we see Jesus. He says, hey, we don't now see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now hang on, what did the psalmist writer say? He said that man was made a little lower than the angels, but God became man. And when God became man, he came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because man lost control of what he had. And what did we do? We saw a man named Jesus. Amen. That came, and he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But the Bible says, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What do we understand? We know that this world's in a mess. We know people and men are doing everything they want to do. And boy, if I was to look around at mankind and the dominion they're supposed to have and the control they're supposed to have, how men ought to leave their home, how men ought to stand up and stand for what's right and to live for God and love the Lord and follow the Lord's precepts and the principles. Boy, they've made a mess of it. But I can tell you, I can look away from all that and I see Jesus. There is no fault in him. There is no sin in him. Can I say he didn't lose control when he went to the cross? He didn't lose control at any time, but the whole time he went and conquered death, hell, and the grave, and one glorious day he's going to sit on the throne with righteousness and with holiness and with glory and with honor, and the God-man will serve there. Why? Because the physical man that I know every day has made a mess of it, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have hope today. Can I tell you, my friend, you may be a sorry, good-for-nothing man, but if you get your eyes on Jesus, he can change your life. Amen. And I thank God for that. Where does man's accolades go? Well, let's turn to Psalms 115. I'm wrapping it up. I know you've got something you want to go eat for lunch. Psalms 115. Man has a problem with his ego. Yeah. I heard some women say amen. We have an ego problem, don't we? If my wife builds my ego, things are different around the house. Amen. If she tears it down, it's bad. What does the Bible say? In Psalms 115, verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The heavens are God's abode, and God gave you the earth and what was therein. And what does the Bible say in verse number 17? The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you what some men need to do? It's Father's Day, and we're supposed to honor you today. But you may tell you, you've lived the last 365 days for yourself and for your four and no more. You better step back and realize there's a God in heaven that has all authority. And everything that you are and everything that you ever hope to be lies in the hands of Almighty God. And can I tell you what He deserves from you today? Is for you to lift your hands toward heaven and to praise the Lord for His goodness. Hey, you ought to praise the Lord that you're a dad today. You ought to praise the Lord that you're a husband today. You ought to praise the Lord that you got a home. You ought to praise the Lord. You say, well, I worked real hard for that. My friend, you wouldn't be able to breathe if it wasn't for the breath of God that God's given unto you as a man. You want to feel like you're macho and you're somebody. Can I tell you, you ain't got enough guts, you ain't got enough gall to stand up and praise the Lord. Don't tell me what a man you are when the God in heaven gave you everything and you can't lift your voice and you can't praise His name and you can't give thanks unto the very God of heaven that without Him you wouldn't have anything. Well, we're pitiful. We're pitiful men. Amen. God help us. You want to fix your ego? You're going to have to lose your pride and give all glory to the One that's made it all possible. Amen. Made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Let's stand. We thank You, Lord.